Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, beautiful people. I'm Bishop Randy Dean, and I'm here to just introduce again and to say hello from the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I believe lesser values than love devolve. They fall into the dark rabbit hole of BS. That which we do to just slide by truth, slide by reality, slide by honesty. BS, bait and switch, or whatever else you might want to think it is. I refuse to live in the realms of BS. I'm here to love authentically, to love seriously. And as I'm going to share with you today, to do the heavy lifting, the hard work of love. So it is with pleasure that I come here week in and week out with Alive to Love, the No BS Bishop. I am so pleased with this project. I'm proud of it, and it's not perfect. I admit that. I'll be the first one to tell you that, but I am reaching for something that has been burning in my heart for so long. It has been said that the world doesn't need us to come at them with our passions, but what the world needs are people who have been consumed with love. What we need in the world today are people who have been, they've been set on fire by love. The world doesn't need me to be against everything and tell them how wrong they are. The world needs me to show them what I'm for. What I believe in, how I have a vision, not just vitriol toward everything around me in life, but to have a vision for life. And my vision for life is love. To that end, I have written what I call Love's Creed. We repeat this every week on the No BS Bishop, and I want to offer it to you again. Let me read through it in total one time, and then I'll read through it slowly and have you repeat it after me. Here it is. Love's Creed. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I'm unavailable for anything less. There it is in total. Now let's go through it slowly. Savor the phrases, would you please? I offer them to you as my labor of love, and I'm asking you to join me in this heavy lifting of making a promise, a covenant, a creed for yourself day in and day out to say these words and then to live them. Here you go. Slowly now. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. This is a platform. This is a place to stand in your understanding of life. A place to stand so that you can level the playing field. I want us to live a life where we are not rich or poor. We are not black or white, we are not free or bond, we are not Christian or non-Christian, but we are lovers. That we would live our lives not from riches or not out of a self pity about being poor. I've been there. I understand poverty maybe more than you can guess. But I am here to tell you that love is the great leveler of the playing field. Love levels the playing field. When love does the heavy lifting, when love is treated not as a flippant, I love ya, not as a flippant phrase, not as a flippant cliche, not as a simple pass you by, hey there, I love you, but a strengthening commitment to live your life by the power of repeating the realities, the truths, the roots of love. You know how weightlifters become strong, don't you? They become strong by repetition. They do reps. They do those things over and over again. They'll lift weights and then increase the weight. They don't. If they want to grow stronger, they make sure the weights get a little heavier. If they want to grow more endurance, well, then they do more repetitions. The point is, with love, it's the same kind of process. It's the heavy lifting. If you want to be a lover for the long term, then you have to daily, as I said earlier, go through the Love's Creed and make sure you are alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. There's nothing else in this world for me but love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for hate, but I'm here with a plan to love. So the heavy lifting, the great equalizer of love. There's not a day should go by, but what I have to, at some level, ask of myself, am I willing to make the sacrifice necessary to keep love growing in my life? Am I willing to do it? Now, I understand you can have a bad day, but once a bad day becomes a bad week or a bad week becomes a bad month, trouble is on the horizon. We are being asked to move our life toward something greater than mediocrity, something greater, something more profound and significant than the simplicity of just getting by emotionally. And what that the answer to that is for me is to be a lover of all. I believe that love is the great equalizer of all human beings. I'm convinced that one of the things we love to do, and it's sad and it's dysfunctional, but one of the things we love to do is to segregate ourselves away from other people. We determine them to be less than deserving of love, or we determine them to be less than deserving of simple respect, much less love. And when we do that, well, if they're rich, well, then we determine that they are less than deserve respect. Or if they are poor, then we determine that they are less than deserving of my love or respect. That's what I'm talking about, love being the great equalizer. Love keeps me on a journey. It keeps me on a process. I say it here week in and week out. I am not perfect at love, but I am a pilgrim at love. I am not reaching for something that I've already achieved. I'm reaching for that which I have not achieved, but I want to practice love. Keeping love as the purpose of how I think, how I behave, and how I live. I want to go back to what I just said there. Keeping love as the practice of how I think. Because what you think, it ultimately becomes what you are. The more you think of yourself as a unworthy, pitiful lump of clay, then you will become that. And that is not what you are on this earth for. God did not create you for that purposelessness. God created every human being in his own image. And you know what God's image is, right? God is love. He who dwells in love dwells in God. He who dwells in God dwells in love. When we see that God is love, then we see that we are love. And when we see that we are love, we then reach out to do the great leveling of the playing field. All of us, as human beings, were created for and by love. I understand there are some people. I look at the situation in Ukraine and Russia right now, and I recognize that we have one person who's driving this war, and that person's name is Putin. Putin is a human being, yes, and Putin is a human being broken, and out of that brokenness, there is so much destruction and hatred coming from him. but I have to level my playing field and recognize there but by the grace and love of God go I. If I am not routinely in touch with how I think about love, well, then that trajectory becomes a Putin-esque. It becomes my reach to become a destroyer and not a builder. That's an example of it. If you wanted to go back to World War II, then the greatest villain of the 20th century, Adolf Hitler, and say the same thing. There was a broken person. I do not see this as a person deserving of hatred, but only my love. And my love says this was a broken, wounded, deeply psychologically scarred human being to do the things that he did in World War II. And the same is true of Putin today, that in that little life, in that little boy somewhere, something was destroyed. And that destruction in that person is reaching out to destroy others. So my love equalizes me. I want you to hear that carefully. I see myself in the same category as a human being, capable of destroying, capable of pain, if I don't keep my trajectory aimed at love, then I too become a pain-giving person. We're not on this earth for causing pain, right? Remember that? I'm not breathing, eating, sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. That's love's creed. My purpose is to love. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into everything that is love. So when we do the heavy lifting, that's what we're here about today. Doing the heavy lifting, I learn how to be as honest as I know how about those anemic values that I continue to entertain in my life. Let me give you an example of an anemic value. Pity is an anemic value. Pity doesn't equalize me with others. It puts me in a place where I think I'm better. Brene Brown says there's nothing worse than feeling pitied. She said we have the research to show us why it is so isolating. Pity involves four elements: a belief that the suffering person is inferior, a passive, self-focused reaction that does not include providing help, but a desire to maintain emotional distance and an avoidance of sharing in the other person's suffering. That's what pity does. Pity, I've always said, pity will kill you. People have, when people walk in this inferior value of pity rather than love, they detach from the capacity of empathy. They detach from the capacity to sit beside you and say, "What can I do for you today?" Pity simply says, "Oh my, what a mess." And that's it. There's no offer to help. There's no offer to seek some kind of equalization. There's no offer to say, well, where in your life can I be involved to at least lift your burden, to carry some portion of your burden? Pity. And by the way, we don't always call it pity. We call it a lot of other things. We'll say, oh, I just feel so bad for them. Well, that's just pity. Feeling bad for somebody isn't about love. Feeling bad is simply that detachment from somebody, looking down at them, rather than being on the great equalizing footing, the leveler of love, doing the heavy lifting of love. The heavy lifting of love doesn't just say, oh, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? No, the heavy lifting of love says, I was wrong. What must I do to make this right? I'm not going to ask you to forgive me just because I said I'm sorry. I'm going to ask you if there's anything you know of that I need to do to make this right. And then I'm sorry means something. Then I have brought love into the equation. I brought the heavy lifting of love, haven't I? I've done the equalizing. Just to say I'm sorry, I feel so bad, that means nothing in terms of real love. It doesn't do any heavy lifting. It doesn't even lift a finger. It is simply offering to you the opportunity now to shift the blame. Now that I've said I'm sorry, well, now it's on you. See, that's not an equalizer. That is a superiority complex. That's behaving in a way that says, I'm still smarter, better, and braver than you. No. When you say I'm sorry, it is to say, I need to own this at whatever level I can, and to whatever level you inform me where I have made a mess, show me where that mess is, and I'll go get a broom and a dustpan, and I will clean up that mess. You know, the hardest thing in the world to do is to clean up a mess you didn't know you made. It is so hard. That's heavy lifting. When you recognize that, well, and by the way, not just the mess you didn't know you made, but a mess that you were in a hurry and you went on past it, and way behind you there's a mess. And that mess has got your name written on it. And the only way to make your sorry, I'm sorry, have any value or look like love is to go back to that mess and to clean it in the best way you know how, and to offer yourself as a sacrifice in terms of time and energy to equalize your life with somebody you've wronged. This is, you know, these are principles that nobody is going to do perfectly, but everybody is being invited to reach for. Once again, love does the heavy lifting. Love is a power lifting practice. And in order to get to a power lifting, you'd better do some small reps. You better do some small repetitions to begin with. But make sure your small repetitions are not just there to appease you or to appease others, but it's there to strengthen you for the greater purposes of love. You've heard me say this many times. I've been a pastor for a half a century. I know the church pretty well. I'm no expert, but I know it enough to know that love has been the one thing missing from the church. In general, I know there are singular exceptions all over the world, but in general, the church's reputation has not been love. Why is that? Because love requires sacrifice beyond money. Love requires more than just doing a missions trip. I've been on a lot of missions trips. I'm not against them. I don't even know how many missions trips I've been on, to tell you the truth. I've been to Russia. I've been to Ukraine. I've been to Finland. I've been to Amsterdam. I've been to Mexico. I've journeyed far and wide on missions trips. And I'm not saying you shouldn't do it, but I am saying that if you do it without love, it's in vain. It isn't doing any heavy lifting. It's only appeasing some kind of guilt complex that you may have or you carry toward another people group. And just attending it in your physical body doesn't do the heavy lifting. The heavy lifting says, you know, if I go on a missions trip, I'm gonna go to learn more than I am going to teach. I'm going to go in order that I may grow in my love quotient daily. That, by the way, is my 2022 New Year's resolution. I got it stuck in my mouth, couldn't get it out. My New Year's resolution is to daily deepen my love quotient. So if I go on a missions trip, I have learned that one of the things I'm going for is me. And that is to increase my strength of love, to increase my vision of love. Every time I've gone somewhere else, I go not to show them what a great Christian I am. I go there to find out where I must grow as a Christian, where I must grow as a lover, where I've got to grow in my insight as to how I see and treat other people. This is what the great equalizer of love means. I'm learning in this life that when Jesus came as the incarnation, which is to say, Jesus is God in the flesh. When Jesus came as one of us, this was the demonstration that love doesn't just keep itself high in the heavens with no dirt under its fingernails. Love comes down. Love not just reaches down, love comes down. It arrives on the scene, not with pity. Remember, pity says, oh, I feel so sorry for you. No, love says, I'm going to join you in your circumstance. I'm going to reach for whatever tools I can find to set this right. I'm not simply going to say, I feel so sorry for you. I'm going to say, watch me as I do whatever it is that you ask of me that's reasonable, that I may see to it that love has an opportunity for the healing of your mind, your emotions, and even your body. Love is the great equalizer. Love does the heavy lifting. Love doesn't stay distant. Love draws near. I understand, as I've said here in other times, that if there's been a massively dysfunctional relationship in my life, and in the abuse that I may have been on the receiving end in a relationship where somebody's been directly hateful or directly harmful to me, I can still love that person, but I may have to love them with boundaries. I may have to love them with a margin. I may have to love them at a distance. And even then, I'm going to have to do the heavy lifting of sustaining a mind of love towards somebody who's wrong toward me is very clear. It's been very direct. It's been very abusive. But in terms of recognizing that if I'm going to get better and not bitter, then I have to do the heavy lifting of love day by day by day as I view that person in my mind's eye or in my own opportunity to consider or meditate or even pray for them. Jesus said, pray for your enemies. Jesus said, love your enemies. Pray for them. Listen, we are being invited to a much grander life than the simplicity of just standing aloof from all the pain of the world and not engaging it as our own. That's what I said about a missions trip. While I love them, sometimes they become a pacifier. You know what a baby does with a pacifier, right? They just suck on that pacifier as if they're getting nourishment. A missions trip can often be a pacifier where we're just acting like we're getting nourishment when the truth is we're just observing. We're not participating at a strong emotional level. We're not doing the heavy lifting of seeing to it that my own life is the first and foremost recipient of reaching out in love. I am strengthened doing the hard work of loving my neighbor. Barbara Brown Taylor said, the hardest spiritual work in the world is to love your neighbor as yourself, to encounter another human being, not as someone to fix, change, use, help, save, enroll, convince, or control, but simply as someone who can spring you and me from the prison of ourselves, if we will allow it. Wow, I love that. I've quoted that before. The hardest spiritual work in the world is to love your neighbor as yourself. Well, as we close today's episode of the No BS Bishop, I'm inviting you again to be a person of the heavy lifting of love, to do the great equalizing of recognizing that pity isn't love, feeling sorry isn't love, but doing the heavy lifting of being completely involved at whatever level I can be, to love someone, even my enemy, so that I am growing and not just groaning, all right? So in order to do that, we've got to be people of some kind of peace. And in order to have some kind of peace, we got to breathe well. Jesus said the Holy Spirit is like the wind, like the breeze in the daytime. He said, you don't know where it's coming from and you don't know where it's going. It just wafts over your face. On a spring day, you feel that breeze, and we need to recognize that's the Spirit. When I breathe, I am breathing in love. I am filling my lungs with the energy and the sustenance of love. And when I exhale, I'm saying thank you. On the count of three, I want you to put your feet flat on the floor, set up straight or stand up straight, and I want you to breathe in, inhale as much love as you can drag into your lungs. One, two, three, breathe in. Hold it. And exhale. Thanks, thanks, thanks. That's just an example of something to do every day at some level. I've been saying here 5 minutes a day. If you can't get in 5 minutes, do it for 1 minute. But do this exercise of slowing down your metabolism, slowing down your pace, slowing down your heart rate, slowing down your mind, and be a person of self-love, self-care, so that you are able to give love wherever it's needed. Second exercise we do every week here on No BS Bishop. Yep, here it comes. I want to ask you to make something weird. Make it awkward if it is. And if it's not, hey, make it fully beautiful. And that is to look somebody in the eye. Give them the attention of your view, of your eyes and your face, and say the three most charmed and magical words in the human language, and they are these: I love you. Now, I know there are some people that are you're going to have to warm them up to that before you just throw that cold pot of water on a hot stove. You may have to warm them up to the moment, give them a little warning, but when you do, tell them why you're doing this. Because you recognize that love is doing the heavy lifting. Love requires of me something more than some tissue-thin, bumper sticker cliche approach. Love demands everything of my mind and my body and my soul, and I refuse to live this life short of the Love's Creed, because the Love's Creed says, words that I am determined to live by, I will not let my life be here just to eat and sleep and to regain energy to cause pain, because I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less. Well, thanks for being here with us again today on this episode of Alive to Love. I'm the No BS Bishop. I invite you to join me in this adventure of a life we call love. Now go out there and do something beautiful, because, oh my, ugly has been done to death.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.